This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, June 2nd, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. It's estimated that more than 8,000 buildings, homes, apartments, churches, and businesses were destroyed or severely damaged by the F5 tornado in Joplin late last month. Included in that destruction, of course, was St. John's Medical Center, a Sisters of Mercy hospital. Yesterday, more than three dozen leaders and workers from the Northwest Arkansas Mercy Medical community traveled to Joplin. And with me on the phone is Scott Street, the president and CEO of Mercy Medical Center in Rogers. Mr. Street, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
First of all, how are your colleagues in Joplin coping?
You know, I'd have to say, given the circumstances, extremely well, doing a great job and bouncing back with 2,800 in total, 2,800 coworkers in the Joplin area, Mercy coworkers. Lots of questions about how to reengage and get back to work. And so we did have an opportunity not only to serve in serving food, hot dogs and hamburgers, and just lots of other things that have been donated to that area that was hit the hardest, but also spending time in our central headquarters that's on the east side of town that are working with the coworkers and getting them back to work. So it's a tremendous focused effort by our ministry office and then the local administration team there. They're just doing a great job.
Of course, any business that goes through a natural disaster and has an interruption of service wants to get back as quickly as possible. With a hospital, there's just precious little time, really, to be dormant.
That's exactly right. And we have, as a ministry, moved very quickly up there to put in a interim facility that is mainly an ER and an area for a few patients to reside, and then obviously shipping out to other hospitals is what's being done. That'll be done for the next 30 to 60 and potentially 90 days, and then a stronger structure will be put in place there, and the capacity could be up to 60 beds, inpatient facility, again with an ER and some other components that could last a number of months before a new facility is built. And the decision has been made to relocate and to put a brand new facility in place, which could take at least a couple of years.
There were about 40 of you who made the caravan trip north yesterday?
Yes. 40 coworkers from Northwest Arkansas. And I just appreciate their time and effort, and I think it was beneficial for us all to be up there to serve.
What did you do during the day yesterday, and what did you see?
You know, it's what we've seen on television and in the paper. The devastation is just—it's just unbelievable. The path of the tornado, you know, pretty much started right there, just west of the hospital, and moved east. And it just took everything in its path. But was able to visit with a lot of individuals that lost their homes. But I'll tell you, so many things have worked well on a positive standpoint. The insurance for most of the individuals is moving quickly, and the payment for what was destroyed, and then them being able to find another home. And we heard far more positive about things like that than the negative.
There, of course, are Sisters of Mercy hospitals in Springfield and St. Louis, Northwest Arkansas, Oklahoma City even. Are there things that can be done at other regional hospitals that help out your colleagues in Joplin?
I think a continued primary focus with the Red Cross. They're the point organization for the work that's going on there. They've got plenty of help to date. It's just going to be weeks after, you know, when the initial assistance and help pulls back, as we're starting to see now. I think efforts like we're doing and did yesterday, we're continuing to look at other dates that we'll be up there serving meals for a lot of the work teams and community members that are in temporary homes that need places to eat and so forth. So I see that as a big need.
Is there anything that you as a CEO can learn from this?
You know, it's interesting. We've been in meetings almost daily here in the last few days talking about the what ifs. What if that were to happen here? And we have a disaster drill, a Northwest Arkansas disaster drill coming up soon with a similar scenario. And so I think there are all kinds of things to learn, and we're meeting as a ministry about that currently. So over the next few months, absolutely, we will learn from this unfortunate event.
And many people in Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley still concerned how they can help. This is going to be a long-term rebuilding process throughout the city of Joplin. What advice would you have for people who want to help?
I would say work with the local, you know, other towns in the communities around Northwest Arkansas. There are different points. Like for us here in Rogers, we the hospital, Mercy Health System Northwest Arkansas, are a designation for contact to ask. We have about five or six areas of or ways that we are pointing people in to help. We're a majority of those. We've created a long list of individuals in the community and our coworkers that want to go up again with us next week and the next week and the next week. Food donation and other things can be rerouted through us. So we'd be happy to be a point person here in Rogers. And then Red Cross, again, is the main contact in other communities.
Scott Street is the CEO of Mercy Medical Center in Rogers, President and CEO of Mercy Medical Center in Rogers, traveled with a caravan of members of the Mercy Health System Northwest Arkansas community of Joplin yesterday. Scott Street, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more of the Fort Smith region. Michael, it is June.
Oh, gosh. Don't tell me that, Kyle. It is June.
Ugh. Now, in some people's minds, when June rolled around, Fort Smith was going to begin to collect a 1% prepared food sales tax to help pay for the convention center operations. But that's not yet happening.
Well, if anyone's been watching this story and they have any expectations, they need to get over that right now. This thing has taken all kinds of different directions. But yes, on Friday we had an expedited hearing. So for people like me who are planning to get out of town early on Friday, no such luck. But Judge Fitzhugh here in Sebastian County granted a temporary injunction to stop collection of the tax, and in his ruling, he went beyond that. It'll be interesting to see how the city responds, but he was not kind in his remarks as to how the city conducted itself during the process of that process being the signatures, the one group gathered to try to force the issue to a vote.
So now another court date for the 17th of June, and what happens after that could be any number of things.
Right. It will be. There are a number of directions. He could force the city to give the petitioners another 10 days to get their petitions in order. He could force it to a vote. I mean, there's some. There's some issues with which a judge is going to have to deal with also, Kyle, because, you know, the ordinance was approved by the board legally, and there's been no question. So Fitzhugh's going to have to determine whether he can intervene in the legislative body of a city, or how far he can intervene. So I am not going to pretend to know what all the outcomes are, other than to say any outcome or ruling would not surprise me at this point. But I still get a kick, Kyle, out of people who say, "Well, when this prepared food tax passes in Fort Smith, I'm going to eat outside the city limits. I'm not going to eat in Fort Smith." Well, great. Good luck. Let's see. Van Buren has a 1% prepared food tax. Alma, Greenwood has a prepared food tax. So you need to head to Roland or Chester or somewhere. Your choices become greatly limited if you're trying to avoid the evils of a 1% prepared food tax.
So we'll wait till the 17th or 18th and see where the story progresses from there.
Correct. And I hope it keeps going. It's great for traffic on the City Wire.
Fort Smith unemployment rate, like many of the unemployment rates in metro areas in Arkansas, dipped with the latest numbers.
Yes, we had a bit of good news, I should say, on Wednesday. the Fort Smith Metro rate dropped to 7.7% in April. And it's the first time in several months that the rate has been, well, it's the first time in 5 months that it's been, the number of unemployed have been below 11,000 in the metro area. And the first time in several months that we've been below 8%. So it's a good direction. It follows a decline that began a couple months ago. And also, Kyle, all of Arkansas's 8 metro areas saw April jobless rate declines. And Pine Bluff was the only one of those to see a rate that's still higher than it was in April of 2010.
And so that means consumer confidence is going up?
Well, one would think, one would hope consumer confidence is going up. A survey we recently conducted, at least in the metro area, shows just the opposite. So people, at least in the Fort Smith area, are less than optimistic about their own personal situation and what others and what federal and local governments and state governments are doing to correct that situation.
Could this be the sort of thing that lags? I mean, okay, now people are seeing that unemployment has dipped in Fort Smith and foreclosures are down, so that could translate in 2 months to maybe confidence coming back up?
That's one of several options. You know, we Talk Business Research, which is Roby Brock and Hendricks College, conduct this survey for us. And we've talked through various scenarios as to why it's down. You know, one of the things congressional redistricting, our part of the world really got hit hard, some think, on congressional redistricting. We had the post office consolidation, moving operations to Fayetteville. Golden Living, although they're moving 200 folks here, they relocated their corporate headquarters to Dallas. And so we thought maybe there's some play that subconsciously or even consciously up front, people see that and it just eventually piles up. You know, it's like Chinese water torture, so to speak. You know, it's just the drips finally add up.
Well, I've also got to ask you about a story that's on thecitywire.com right now about a robotics competition that takes place in Fort Smith, and it's kind of the incubation thanks to an assistant professor at Arkansas Fort Smith, John Martini. Tell me about this article.
Yes, well, and thanks for asking, because it's fun. You know, we always like to talk about positive news as well, and gentleman John Martini is assistant professor at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith, and I'm not going to say single-handedly, but he's a great leader. He's dynamic. He gets people involved. But he's had a lot of help. But he has really ensured that this best robotics competition, and it's a national competition and attracts people from all over the country. But there's a regional event, the Frontier Trails Best Regional Competition. It's held in the fall. Brings thousands of kids and their parents. I mean, Fort Smith is overrun for a 3 or 4 day period, and the Fort Smith Convention Center is packed, and the Stubblefield Center at the university is packed with these kids, some brilliant kids. I mean, they almost make you angry how smart these kids are, you know, and you think, why? I'm not even near that. I wasn't near that smart when I was their age, and I'm not near that smart now. But these kids use these, and they build these robots, and they're not just little remote control. It's a very elaborate system of electronics, mechanics, that these kids, I call them kids, I mean, they're young adults, but they compete. And you know, Kyle, if you look at our science and math statistics in terms of where this country is compared to other countries, you know, it's people like Martini who are helping us at least keep our head above water in terms of producing another generation that will know how to, you know, connect things up with electronics and hydraulics and those sorts of things.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, and robots for the Fort Smith region. Michael, thank you as always.
All right. You're welcome, Kyle.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later in this edition of Ozarks, a chance for you to pick up a gift certificate for 2 free tickets to any of the 2011 Taste of Opera dinner and opera events sponsored by Opera in the Ozarks at Inspiration Point. The first is tonight, but if you can't make it tonight and you win the certificate, you could go on June 7th, June 9th, or July 20th. More information and the trivia question later on this edition of Ozarks at Large. Not officially, but really, summer is here, and the Fayetteville Underground Galleries are filled with images of big sky and sacred ground. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this preview.
We've watched the sky this spring release flooding rains, intense winds, even catastrophic tornadoes. things are much calmer now moving into summer, so it's ironic that this month's exhibiting artists at the Fayetteville Underground are obsessed with sky. Our first artist lives atop a mountain east of Fayetteville, and when able, she ventures outside to watch the sunset, absorbing the colors and light as it fades. Her sunsets are crystallized in a collection of large drawings, views that peer out of darkened architecture.
Well, my name is Sharon Killian. I was born in Jamaica, West Indies of all places, and immigrated to New York City in Harlem. And many years ago, I got my two bachelor's degrees concurrently from University of Rochester in New York, art history and painting, and then had to find a job and went into medical education. And then to Washington, D.C., where I lived before I moved here almost 6 years ago. My husband is born and raised in Fayetteville.
Sharon Killian loves the Ozarks, especially the light at the end of the day. Her exhibition is titled Nature's Challenge because capturing that light is difficult.
Some people call it chalk pastel. There's no oil in it. And I use it in a very painterly way. I work it in. It's not very light on top of the paper. Always question about, what medium are you using here, because it really doesn't look very much like pastel. And my challenge, my work here, is in response to nature's challenge. I live on a hill overlooking the Ozark Mountains, and every day I have been challenged by nature. The sunsets, I call them ridiculous sunsets. And so this series of nine works are my response to nature's challenge. And they're all nine are sunsets.
Sharon Killian frames her large pastels in sturdy boxed frames. Her work is held in private collections in New York City, Washington, D.C., and here.
The moon is constantly changing, just like the sunset.
William Mays Flanagan's also obsessed with sky, but he watercolors nightscapes occupied with the transition from dusk to dark and ambient light.
I do believe there's a different energy at night, and my muse has always called me to that. And I think it's, I've told so many people this, but I each time I try to say it a little differently. I think our imagination's evolved at night because we didn't have electricity. There was not much else to do but huddle up in caves and fall in love and tell stories. And so I look often as night. It's not as a scary thing. There's always a haven in the night because we always look for that safe spot.
Somehow Flanagan manages to find lots of color in his nightscapes, deep violets, intense indigo, blazing orange reds.
It never lasts for long. It's changing really fast. Like I think Monet used to go to one place and paint at the same time every day, and he'd paint for like he had like 30 minutes to paint, and he had like five or six paintings. He'd do it once. He'd put one away and then start the next one. But on dusk, it just goes so much faster. Like you have like 10 or 15 minutes of a sunset, and it's just changing every second. And that's what's kind of neat. So I'm doing, I did a lot of sunsets and reds this time, even though I still have my traditional blues, but I tried to bring out some more reds and oranges.
Do you paint in place or do you work from photographs or imagination?
I do all of them. I don't do much actually in place. I usually take pictures and go look at it and always tell my wife I'm going to be arrested for voyeurism someday because I'll be standing in front of somebody's house looking or something, looking at in the middle of the night and then holding a piece of paper in my hand or a half-done painting and running back to my studio.
These mysterious watercolors could easily be bound in a storybook as intriguing illustrations. William Mays Flanagan's collection of a dozen paintings titled Edge of Night will be showing in the Vault Gallery. He's also an underground studio artist. Sculptor Hank Kaminsky, who will be showing in the E Street Gallery, is most concerned not with the sky, but with the earth, and is producing a series of limited edition cast stone sculpture titled The Sacred Ground Project.
What I'm doing is I'm studying what I believe to be is the structure of the universe. The universe is laid out in fields. The world is one manifestation of the space in that field. And I want to discuss fields because I think that if we understand them better, that we will be able to understand the universe better. And so when Einstein demonstrated that space curves, it just blew me away. It just made me so excited because I thought, oh, everything changes, everything moves, everything is in motion. And a field is a sign of invisible energies that travel through space and time in all kinds of ways. And I want to play with that.
Each textured inscribed sculpture declares that you are standing on sacred ground and can be used in exterior and interior settings. Some are circular, others are pillars of various sizes.
This phrase, you are standing on sacred ground, kept popping up in my mind. You are standing on sacred ground, having to do in the community with acting like the earth was important, acting like you lived here and it was a sacred thing for you, that you should take better care of the place. And that phrase started weaving itself through my fields. And that's where we end up now, with a whole group of pieces, a whole project, I call it the Sacred Ground Project, which starts with little sculptures, and I would love to build a 12-foot-tall standing stone as if you were walking in the woods and found this rock.
To Kaminsky, the sacred is not religious. Even the concrete floor of the Faithful Underground is sacred, Kaminsky says. A New York native, Kaminsky's lived in the Ozarks since 1971, making sculpture for more than 50 years. Our final artist, Sean Fitzgibbon, absorbs entire atmospheres, especially during mindful travels around the world, particularly in Europe.
The best I can describe it would be like painted collages, in a way, and I do, it's mostly acrylic, but it's also other media as well, mixed media, colored pencil, torn paper, transfer, stuff like that, but mostly just drawn and painted. Yeah, my work's inspired by my travels quite a bit, just perception, the way we perceive our world and how it's always changing.
Sean Fitzgibbon is an arts instructor at Northwest Arkansas Community College, but he also creates graphic novels. That genre is implicit in these collages. Images of the Vatican merge with a Roman cemetery, and clockwork splay across eroded marble statuary, all symbolizing timelessness, Fitzgibbon says.
I also like that when you do travel, it sort of forces you into the moment, you know, and so while you're traveling, you have a tendency to, it's like people will travel to be into that present state of mind. And I find that that's one reason I really enjoy travel. It really brings you into that present moment. And so I try to record just kind of that sensory input, what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing, and try to bring that into a sort of a unified image.
Sean Fitzgibbon will be showing 25 acrylic collages in the Revolver Gallery. The Fayetteville Underground is open Wednesday through Friday, 12 to 7, and Saturday, 10 to 5. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
A first Thursday reception at the Fayetteville Underground takes place tonight from 5 until 8. Gallery hours are Wednesday through Friday from noon until 7, Saturdays from 10 until 5. For more information and for directions, you can go to fayettevilleunderground.blogspot.com. This is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. It is Thursday, June 2nd, 2011. With me again on the phone from her favorite city in the world, New Orleans, is Becca Bacon Martin. She's the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Have you ever had crawfish beignets?
I have not, but those are two of my favorite words in the world, so I don't know why I haven't done this yet.
Ooh. We'll talk more about food on Sunday, but let me just say that I am fat and happy.
Well, that's great.
Another question, have you ever been to the World War II Museum?
I have. I went just after it opened, actually.
It just keeps growing. New things. Saturday, they're opening a new restoration pavilion where visitors can see how artifacts are restored.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the 6th is the anniversary of the D-Day invasion of Normandy. And then on June 7th, they have a book signing with Ken Burns.
Wow.
We get book signings, they get Ken Burns. And the 4D Beyond All Boundaries film is astonishing. You know, your seat shakes and things come out of the floor and out of the ceiling, and it's just amazing. If you're any kind of a World War II buff, you really must make the pilgrimage to this museum.
And they keep improving it and adding to it as well.
Absolutely. So if you're any kind of a music buff, you have a happy, happy weekend in Northwest Arkansas starting tonight.
An embarrassment of riches, I think.
Eureka Springs Blues Weekend starts tonight. The KUAF Fulbright Summer Chamber Music Festival continues tonight at 7:30 at St. Paul's.
Right.
And it's free.
Right.
And, of course, Wakarusa starts tonight.
Or has started, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than 100 bands, some 20,000 music fans at Mulberry Mountain. Tickets are $184 for all 4 days, but there are some, like, daily packages. And if you will follow Kevin Kinder on Twitter or at his NWATunedIn.com blog, you will know all about it.
Yes. Well, so if you like music, you don't have to go very far to see a whole bunch of it.
All right. There's more going on than jazz up there.
Yeah. All right. Well, Becca, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You will. Thanks, Kyle.
Uh-huh. Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large for June 2nd, 2011. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee says he does not intend to change his mind about a 2012 race for the White House. The Republican was in Arkansas again yesterday to speak at the Clinton School of Public Service, and he told reporters after his speech that he remains pleased with his decision to not run. However, he says he would consider a vice presidential slot in the campaign.
Everything is still open. I mean, I haven't closed doors because I found long ago that that's not a smart thing to do. Then you trying to figure out how to open them when they come knocking. So I'm not looking for anything. I'm content with what I'm doing. That's what I plan to do. But, you know, I'm not going to make some definitive categorical statement.
The former governor did perform well among conservative voters in the 2008 Iowa caucus. He says the next race for the GOP presidential nomination will leave participants, in his words, bruised and battered. And that played a part in his decision to not run.
Our election environment has become incredibly toxic to the point that I'm not sure that the country is presently governable. I know that's a very bold statement, but I'm telling you now, it is becoming where it is impossible to actually govern, not just because the other side is going to take you on and parse every word and bring nuances to everything that's said, but because your own party will do that.
Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee told the audience yesterday at the Clinton School of Public Service that he's not sure Ronald Reagan could be elected today, well, with his decisions to compromise with Democrats and raise taxes in certain cases. And the Arkansas Razorback men's golf team is trying to make up 4 strokes today during the final day of the first phase of the NCAA championships in Stillwater, Oklahoma. The Razorbacks began the day just 4 strokes out of the top 8 spots. The best 8 scores after the first 3 days of play advanced to the NCAA single elimination tournament this weekend that will eventually determine the national championship. Georgia Tech began today in first place. The Walmart shareholders meeting continues today and tonight. An international contingent of the retailer's employees will be at Arvest Ballpark tonight for shareholders night during the Northwest Arkansas Naturals game. Tomorrow morning is the main event, so to speak, as the shareholders meeting is held inside Bud Walton Arena. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has attended more than one Walmart shareholders event, and she has this report.
Early June is perennially Walmart Shareholders Week in Northwest Arkansas, where shareholders and associates from around the globe travel to Mecca to experience the Bentonville Home Office Network, cheer each other on, try new product, and assess the economic health of the world's largest retailer. Local hotels and restaurants get a fat boost from the event, especially around Fayetteville, it being centered at the University of Arkansas. The campus provides dormitory space, meals, and of course Bud Walton Arena, and surrounding parking lots for rowdy vendors, fairs, and free concerts. Things kicked off Tuesday night with country music stars Darius Rucker and Lady Antebellum. And last night, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band played Bud Walton Arena. Of course, huge celebrities will take the main stage at the shareholders meeting Friday morning, designed to dazzle. A business agenda is provided to shareholders, and a small portion of the morning is dedicated to profits and losses for the year. Last quarter, the company saw a 6% increase in net income, or an estimated $3.3 billion, 95 cents a share earnings estimate. But in the United States, things remain sluggish, with Walmart reporting 7 consecutive quarters of negative same-store sales, challenged by burgeoning dollar stores, which is why, in an attempt to capture that market, Walmart's building a bunch of small stores this year in the United States, with 2 prototypes opening June 8th here in Northwest Arkansas. And shareholders will likely browse the world's tiniest Walmart, opened last winter on the U of A campus. And with Walmart operating 4,100 stores with more than 680 associates in 14 countries outside the United States, shareholders this week will hail from places like South America, South Africa, where Walmart recently purchased retail giant Massmart for a reported $2.4 billion, from the United Kingdom and from India.
My name is Reema Mehrotra. I'm from Walmart India ASD team, and I met the shareholders for the first time. Really excited to be here.
I'm so excited to be here to attend the shareholders meeting. Thank you. I'm so excited, and I hope we'll enjoy it together. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Associates from Japan and China are also represented.
MSP in our country would promote this program as a My Sustainable program. And every associate is encouraged to take his or her MSP. For example, save water and use the recycled paper or kind of battery kind of thing to help build up a sustainable society and give back to the people.
Sustainability is on everyone's mind this year because at Friday's shareholder meeting, Walmart CEO Mike Duke will expand the paradigm to not just sustainability, but global responsibility. In a published report presented this week, the company continues to work toward being supplied by 100% sustainable energy, creating zero waste, and selling eco-friendly products. This year, Mike Duke has lifted a quote by founder Sam Walton, who referred to his company as, quote, the lighthouse of the Ozarks, illuminating ways to, quote, give back to communities and studying ways to be more socially conscious all around. Individual social responsibilities also being stressed this year through personal commitments by associates via donations and volunteerism. But for shareholders, this year the core message Friday morning will be Next Generation Walmart. Here's CEO Mike Duke from this year's annual report video intro.
Walmart is the best positioned retailer in the world for the future, and really starts with our business model. Our business model based on a productivity loop of everyday low price, and of course that's based on everyday low cost, is absolutely what the customer will look for in the future. In a period of price transparency where the customer will be in charge, the customer will have much more information, an everyday low price retailer will win.
Walmart's 2011 shareholders meeting will begin bright and early at 7 a.m. Friday, June 3rd, and it will be streamed, stars and all, live via the web on walmartstores.com/shareholdersmeeting. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This is Ozarks at Large. It's the second day of June, a Thursday, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Jody Besnoska, Vice President for Communications at Walton Art Center. And Artisphere is almost in our rearview mirror.
Very close to being over. We have just a couple more events tonight, Thursday at 5 p.m. We say goodbye to our gallery exhibition, Garden as Muse. So if you are out and about for First Thursday up on the square, you know, make the trek a block or two down and come see us and say farewell to these 5 wonderful artists' work that have been up in the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery for about 6 weeks or so now. Sculpture, painting, and everything in between, and we will have light refreshments, and we'll be handing out our artist catalog, and so it'll be a fun evening. And the garden, our Bradbury Amphitheater garden, you can get to it through the gallery now, so it will be a lovely night to go see some art and then hang out in the garden and enjoy the evening. So that's at 5 o'clock tonight as part of the First Thursday festivities, and it's our final hurrah for that exhibition. And then tomorrow night, Friday night, we have Tom Chapin. He will be up at the First Friday celebrations up in Bentonville, part of sort of the kickoff of their Arts Fest
right
up there, which I believe begins Friday.
Today? This is the second?
Today's the second. So it either begins today or tomorrow.
It runs through the week.
Runs all the way through the week up into next weekend. So it'll be full of activities all around the Bentonville Square. And then next weekend, lots of art and music and all kinds of great happenings up there. So this is Friday night, 7 p.m. You can listen to the wonderful Tom Chapin.
You may not be old enough to remember, but he had a show called Make-A-Wish.
Uh-huh.
That was on Sunday mornings, I think on ABC. It might have been syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that show's the reason I do what I do.
Really?
Yep.
He's just, that's wonderful. I mean, what was it about it that...
I don't know. It the idea behind the show was he would take a topic mm-hmm. and kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was about fishing, that might go to fishing line, which might go to a creek, which
uh-huh.
might, and it was just this sort of stream of consciousness,
yeah.
though it was very well produced. And it just covered many different topics in a quick amount of time.
Isn't that great?
And he'd write original songs for
right.
it. But.
Right. I like reading about him. I'm not terribly familiar with his music, although of course I know who he is, but I like the way different people describe him. You know, he wants to write music that is a bridge between Sesame Street and pop.
Right.
For kids who are too old for Sesame Street but not ready for pop yet. So that's Friday. Saturday, the Williams Center dance recitals will be at the Arts Center. There'll be lots of little young dancers filling up the stage. This is always fun. Those shows are at 10:30, 2:30, and 6:30.
And I know of at least one young woman who is moving on now to the next level.
Really?
Going to school away from here for high school. Who
was part of the program?
You might have seen, yeah.
Yeah, that's... I think lots of little girls grew up in programs like this, and it really, we sometimes take for granted that, you know, you just send your little girl to dance class, but that's not taken for granted. You can't take that
right.
for granted anymore, because it's getting harder and harder to find time to get kids into arts programs. So programs like this, where they get that experience of getting to be on that big stage, and how do you put a show together, and the parents get really into it and really involved, and then you get a wonderful story like that where somebody sticks it out and stays with it and decides to go get more training.
And may have a career in it, yeah.
I know. We love that. I love hearing stories like that. It's really nice that Walton Arts Center has been around long enough now that children who were doing things like that when they were little are now getting old enough to go to college, or even in some cases be out of college and making a career. It's pretty neat, because you know that this was the place where they got exposed to it for the first time.
That's 10:30, 2:30, and 6 on Saturday.
That's correct, yes. Okay, and so then we will take a couple days off and get ready for the beginning of our Art of Wine Festival. We did have Guy Fieri last night. He sort of was our first hurrah, and I was not there, but I heard he called the hogs quite a bit.
I saw a tweet from someone who attended and said at least a dozen times.
A dozen times. Well,
that doesn't happen at a basketball game.
I know. So apparently he had the crowd going, but I heard it was quite fun. And so it's fun to kick off this and get into the wine and food mode. So next week will be the Art of Wine Festival. The first public event is on the 10th. That's a Friday. Begins at 6 p.m. This is called Uncorked. It is our $65 wine tasting. All of Walton Arts Center, full of wine and food. I would say that's the best way to describe this event.
More than 400 wines?
Yes. And every varietal you could possibly want. And the stage has wine. Star Theater has wine. McBride Studio has wine. The hallways are full of wine. It's, you know, there's no way you could taste all of it, but you can sure have a good time trying. We have another tasting on Saturday night at 6 called the Premiere Tasting. And a lot of those wines are reserve wines. And the crowd is smaller and a little more, you know, focused on the wine, but so much fun. Both events are so much fun, but very different.
Yes.
And then also on Saturday at 11 o'clock, we have our Wine Lovers Brunch. It's a very fun, informal way to learn a little bit about wine pairing. So you will have a nice brunch prepared for you, and you will have somebody guiding you through tasting a couple different wines with a different food and knowing what you should be hearing and listening for and smelling. That's at 11 o'clock on Saturday the 11th. Then at 4:30 on Saturday the 11th, we will have a Riedel glass seminar where you will learn how Riedel glasses can help you taste wine differently. And I gotta tell you, I went to this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in going, nah. This is not. This is just a racket. This is somebody making some money off of me, poor sucker, right? And it's not true. I mean, it's not true that it's a racket. It's actually real. We sat there with one glass in one hand, just your typical wine glass that you'd get at a bar, and a Riedel glass in the other, and we drank the same wine and doggone it if it didn't taste different. Huh. And it's because the glasses are built out of a special material and they're shaped especially to help release whatever needs to get released to really fully appreciate the taste of the wine. It was pretty remarkable. So not many tickets left for that. And if you want tickets for that seminar, you can call the box office. I would, if there aren't any left, I would ask how to, you know, how
sneak
you can
in?
Get how you
no,
can whether so. You can come on standby or if there's any way to know okay. to find out if there are tickets that come available, because it's quite popular and it's a lot of fun. That's at 4:30 on Saturday,
the 11th,
and that actually wraps up the Walton Arts Center 11-12 season, really. And right now we're deep in planning and on sales for next season. So we have a lot of new programs already going on sale for the 2011-12 season.
The Sona season has been announced?
That's correct. Sona season is announced, and subscriptions for Sona will go on sale tomorrow. And they run from $100 to $200. So it's a 5-show season. So that gives you an idea that the prices are pretty reasonable. And it's a full season, 3 Masterworks concerts and 2 what I guess you would call pops. Although, knowing Paul Haas, they're going to be more than your typical pops. But we'll have a Christmas show, and we will also have a show with the Fayetteville Jazz Collective, where Sona and the Jazz Collective will collaborate together. Really fun. And then I believe the final concert of the season will be Mahler's Choral Symphony.
Oh, so big sound. And a sort of special choral ensemble will be assembled.
Yep.
I've heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're excited. We're so excited for Sona, because they had such a great concert on the 17th, introducing Paul, the new conductor, and, you know, sort of giving us a sense of how he's going to take us through, you know, your classical symphony music, but also bring us some new things and stretch our ears and our minds a little bit. And I think we're going to see more of that over the course of the year. And a couple more things tell you about that are going on sale. Tomorrow, Guys and Dolls will go on sale. Well, the show will go on sale.
Right.
Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
We will not be selling Guys, nor will we'll be selling Dolls. But we will be selling the Broadway show.
Yes.
That will be on July 9th. 2 performances of that only, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. on July 9th. And then next week, we will be putting 2 big things on sale. We will have the Imagination Movers. This is a children's music group that has been featured on Disney for the past couple of years. Great fun. Their performances will be at the end of July, so tickets for that will go on sale next week. And then we'll also be putting our 10x10 arts package on sale next week. It won't be individual tickets to the shows. It will be the package. You have to buy all of it. But it's a great lineup. The Emerson String Quartet is on there. Mm-hmm. A production of The Importance of Being Earnest is on there. And the Mark Morris Dance Company, arguably one of the best dance companies in the world, for $10.
Not bad.
Pretty exciting. And then I just want to remind anyone with little kids out there that beginning on June 13th, we have theater camps happening at the Arts Center with Trike Theater. And that's for grades kindergarten through second grade. And you can sign up for those on our website. All of this information is at waltonartscenter.org. And you can also give us a call, which is 443-5600.
Jody, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Like the rest of the media, we here at Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me have decided to stop being distracted by silly stories and faux celebrity. From now on, we're only going to talk about serious issues like, oh, wait, look, Sarah Palin just got off her bus. Somebody tweet a picture. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for the news quiz that's easily distracted. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM. This is Ozarks at Large. Time now for a trivia question. First, let me explain what today's winner will receive. A voucher for 2 tickets to a Taste of Opera event hosted by Opera in the Ozarks at Inspiration Point. The first one is tonight at Savor Restaurant in Fayetteville. If you can't make that, that's okay. There are other opportunities. There will be one June 7th in Bentonville at the Clarion Hotel and Convention Center on Southeast Walton Boulevard. There will also be Taste of Opera events June 9th and July 20th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. Of course, opera in the Ozarks at Inspiration Point has been around for decades, and the season this year includes the operas Little Women and Die Fledermaus from Strauss, German opera. And today's trivia question, directed right at opera aficionados, and probably if you are a fan of opera or Strauss or this season of opera in the Ozarks at Inspiration Point, this shouldn't be a difficult question. If we were to translate Die Fledermaus from German to English, would it be the cat, the rat, or the bat? Again, if you translated Die Fledermaus from the German to English, would it be the cat, the rat, or the bat? 800-522-5823. 800-522-KUAF if you have an answer or a guess. All correct answers will go into our ceramic cow, and one correct winner will be pulled from the ceramic cow. Again, you are answering for a gift certificate, good for two tickets to an Taste of Opera from Opera in the Ozarks at Inspiration Point. Good luck. Time now for the answer to today's question. And it was simply, if you translated the opera title Die Fledermaus from German to English, would it be the cat, the rat, or the bat? And the correct answer is the bat. Another Taste of Opera gift certificate will be given away tomorrow on Ozarks at Large. And that's almost all the time we have for this Thursday edition of Ozarks at Large. Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers, where the best of Profiles and Our Town have been combined into one Sunday section. Information available at nwaonline.com. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Batson. Batson in the Ozark National Forest, of course, between Oak Grove and Ozone. We'll end this edition of Ozarks at Large with new music from Elvin Bishop. The legendary musician will perform Saturday night at the Auditorium in downtown Eureka Springs as part of the Eureka Springs Blues Weekend. His latest CD is titled Raisin' Hell Review. This song is Cryin' Fool. For a complete list of performers and venues for this weekend, EurekaSpringsBlues.com. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for listening.